We now have a few minutes together to spend looking at God's Word a little bit more closely. If you have a copy of God's Word, you can begin to turn to Psalm 98. This Advent season, if you've been part of our service, we have been looking at how Christ is in the Psalms. And what we found is that all of the Psalms had an original meaning, with the Holy Spirit inspiring the author to write these psalms that would give the people of Israel a hope as they worshiped the Lord. But the Spirit inspired these words in such a way that they wouldn't just have an immediate fulfillment, they would also have a future full fulfillment in Christ. And so tonight we will see that is true of Psalm 98, which is a psalm that inspired, of course, the great hymn that we'll sing a little bit later tonight in closing. So I'll be reading Psalm 98 from the ESV. It says this: "O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and with the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity." This is the word of the Lord. If you would, please pray with me. Lord, we pray that tonight as we come to your word and as we see the glorious truths that you have given to us in it, that we would be filled with joy. The joy that comes from trusting in you and seeing your abundant grace and mercy. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Christmas is, of course, a season full of memories, and I can remember being a littler young man and looking through the Toys R Us catalog that had come into the mail. And, of course, what you do is you circle everything that you see, and then your parents kind of give it back to you, and they're like, "Why don't you narrow that down a little bit into a more budget-friendly list of things to get?" And so I remember narrowing that down and kind of coming to this box set of X-Men action figures. It had like 6 or 7 action figures, and I was dying on the inside to get these because it was the right mix of the good guys and the bad guys that I needed to have the big fight. And so I waited and waited and waited, and finally Christmas came. I came downstairs and I looked and kind of scanned the packages to see if any of them were the right dimensions, and lo and behold, one was. And so it was my turn to open. I ran and I ripped apart everything and pulled it up, and bingo, X-Men, exactly what I wanted. Hope had been realized. Fast forward a few years, and the end of my freshman year of high school, we had the end of the year awards ceremony, and I was this close to getting into Beta Club for having certain grades. But I remember during the award ceremony that I knew my name wasn't going to be called. I had already done the averages at home, and I was pretty sure about my final grades. Yet there was something in me that hoped that maybe I made a mistake, or maybe the teachers made a mistake, or maybe a teacher would give me a little bit of grace and push me just over the edge. So I remember listening closely as the names were being read out, hoping that my name would be read and it would surprise me. But my name wasn't read. Hope was not realized. Sometimes hope is realized and sometimes it's not. Psalm 98 is a psalm about our greatest hope being realized. It's about our name being called by Jesus Christ as being written in the book of life. It's about celebrating the eternal joys that we have and will have in the new heavens and the new earth. But there's a hitch. Even those that many would consider to be good Christian people still fear what we should hope for. We still fear that final judgment day. We fear that hope will not be realized. And that's because all of us deep down know that we haven't really earned eternal life. We've done the averages and our grades don't quite cut it. I mean, think about how difficult your own struggle with sin has been. Has it been easy shedding the selfishness that wages war within you, tugging and pulling at you whenever you see the good thing that you ought to do? Has it been easy wrestling with guilt and shame? Has it been easy loving your neighbor as yourself or delighting in the infinite goodness and beauty of God? If you're like me, it hasn't been easy. It's been hard. The good news is that Jesus came to deliver us from our struggle with sin. He came to give us this good news. And though while we continue to wrestle with sin in this life, we do look forward to that day when Jesus returns in his second advent, and that struggle with sin is finally and fully done away with forever. And it is good news that we even have a forever to look forward to. You see, God is right to judge the sin that has separated us from him. He's right to judge the rebellion that all of us have participated in. But we sing praises to our King because our judge is also our Savior. Jesus has rescued us from judgment. Ultimately, that's what Psalm 98 is about. You see, it recounts how God has saved his people in the past, and it celebrates how he will save them in the future. It's not about the people of God being judged according to their strength or to their faithfulness, because this psalm wouldn't be celebrating anything. It would be a lament. Instead, it celebrates how the judgment that is to come is good news of salvation, because the judgment that is to come is a judgment based on the strength and faithfulness and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it shows us this wonderful idea. Christians can praise God because we will be judged in Christ. That's why we praise him. If you look at verse 1, it said, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him." We're meant to sing to the Lord because he has done marvelous things, a phrase used in the Old Testament to reference miracles, things that are supernatural or divine. So what miracle are we praising God for? Well, the answer is we're praising him for the supernatural working of God, this divine miracle of his salvation. The miracle is salvation, a word that's repeated three times in the first three verses. We're to praise him for his salvation. And in fact, somehow we read that creation itself, nature, the world, will praise God for the salvation of humanity. Indeed, in verse 3, this psalm tells us that all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Now, originally, the psalmist was referencing how all those who heard about Israel also heard how the Lord had saved or rescued Israel throughout their history. Now, of course, on this side of the cross, we see that its final fulfillment is that the entire earth hears about Jesus rescuing and transforming those who put their faith in him. An even greater salvation. But here again, we come back to our problem a little bit. And if you look at the last two verses, they almost seem out of place. The psalm is saying, "Praise God, praise God, praise God." Because he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. And you might wonder, it's not easy to praise the Lord for judgment. But we are to praise him because he comes to judge the earth. The trouble is that it's still scary to many of us who put our faith in Christ. That final judgment is still terrifying to many of us because we wonder, will there really be a moment where every thought, word, and deed will be laid bare? Will God alone be the witness of this trial, or will all of creation see us completely laid bare? Will my spouse hear my secret thoughts? Will my parents find out about every lie that I've ever told? Will my boss figure out what I've really been doing while he was away? Is the IRS going to find out too? How do we square that with the idea that the life to come is to be filled with bliss? Will there be shame and fear for the Christian at the judgment seat of God? Well, the truth is that this judgment will not crush us. Rather, as God helps us to see the true depths and pervasiveness of our sin, we will more clearly see the true depths and perfection of his provision in Jesus Christ. As we plumb the depths of our guilt, we will see the riches of his glory, the riches of his grace, the riches of his mercy. We'll see, indeed, how much we have been forgiven. Finally, the clarity will come of Christ's perfect love. Finally, the cross will make sense to us as it doesn't make any sense at all when we see that the King of Kings, who knew no sin, became sin for us who were consumed with it throughout our whole life. We'll see the marvelous plan of God as it unfolded into absolute perfection. And we will marvel at the goodness of God. We will sing praises. We will truly shout for joy, joy to the world, because the Savior is the one who reigns. You see, Christians praise God because the judgment of God will be a blessing for the Christian. For then we will see exactly how deep the Lord's love is for us. We'll see the strength of Christ overcoming the death that we deserve, and we will see his infinite mercy for those who put their trust in him. And this miracle of a blessed judgment that results in loud, joyful praises began on the blessed night that we celebrate tonight. What will one day be the greatest rejoicing that creation has ever witnessed began in quiet humility. And so that's how we will celebrate this evening, the rest of the evening. In a moment, we'll hear from our choir, and then we will sing a humble song, reflecting on the marvel of God coming to earth as an infant. And then we will sing triumphantly of that day when our King and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will reveal to us in fullness the depth of his love and forgiveness. So let us go ahead and prepare our hearts for this portion of our worship, even now as we close in prayer. If you would, please pray with me. Father, we do thank you that we do not need to fear that judgment day if we are in Christ. God, we ask that you would replace ungodly fear with a reverence that trembles at your holiness, but that also trembles with the joy of knowing your forgiveness. God, help your grace to be increasingly real to us so that we might be transformed by it and so that we might worship you more fully all the days of our lives. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.